Alright everyone, it's the Grimlord here, and I'm back with another video. I've got an interview today with Dollhouse Phil and Richard, who I recently met on Drexel's server. So if you would introduce yourself.
My name's Richard. I joined Drexel's server last week.
Okay, and of course Phil from the Dollhouse.
I'm that guy that everyone knows, and you just can't get away from me.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and start with the main point. Richard, now you describe yourself as an incel, and a lot of people, they get that term wrong. They think it's a man that is celibate. He can't have... like, he can't have sex, he can't get any kind of woman or anything, it's just hopeless for him. So, what exactly is the incel in your, your belief?
They just want the idealistic view of a relationship, mostly.
Okay, so you're saying that...
So the sitcom and romantic comedy. Style relationship.
Okay, so you're saying something like maybe a romance anime. I think I can talk about, what was it? Oh My Goddess? Something like that, like Belle Dandy. Because I remember when I was a young man and I was watching that, I was like, wow, that is a wonderful relationship. And of course, stupidly, I thought, well, surely I could find somebody like that in real life. And then you realize that that is just fantasy and that real life is a far different animal. So, obviously there's been several situations that the media has construed a certain way about incels, and that would, of course, be Manassian and the others who have, committed these...
Manassian wasn't an incel, though, so he's not an incel.
Okay, so exactly, so explain to me...
He just said he was, so...
Okay, so how would you classify these men? All the ones that we know so far, Go into detail and actually tell us, for the audience here, how do we actually classify these men that committed these murders? They weren't incels at all, correct?
No, they were outliers, basically.
Okay.
So
let's go ahead and start with, I can't remember the names of all of them. I know about Manassian, but I know that one of them apparently had a girlfriend and a job. And
that was Manassian.
Okay. Well, see, that
he had a girlfriend and he was starting a new job, but he had anxiety about it, so...
Well, see, that doesn't even sound anything like the media's depiction of an incel. I mean, if you look up incel in the dictionary or the Wikipedia definition, you won't even find anything like that. And the incels that I have talked to, obviously... they wouldn't even consider him an incel because he's got a girlfriend and he's having sex, even by their terminology. I mean, if we want to use the media's terminology there. So obviously he would be a volcel at best, which, voluntary celibate. So, again, this is just what sounds like to be the media trying to pin something on every man that has a different opinion or different view of life than the status quo. I would not actually consider myself that. I mean, even though I am one of these guys, was always kind of an outlier, but I did have girlfriends. I didn't go for like the beauty queens or anything, but I just went with women that I felt were into the kind of things that I was into and I could get along with on a decent level. I'm not saying it worked, and I was rather a bit picky, but at the same time, when I'm looking at these men now, I see these same kind of girls that I was into, and I notice that their requirements have gone up like hundredfold. And I'm like, okay, I dated you kinds of girls back when I was younger, and you would not even dare have these kinds of requirements. Like, because I know you're not on that level. They know they're not on that level. If they were on that high tier, you know, I could understand that they would want these requirements. But we're talking about low tier, regular, normal, everyday, what, Beckys, I guess you could say?
Stacey's and Beckys.
Yes. Well, the Beckys, I guess, what I would be talking about here. Because I knew the Stacys, and I knew one Stacy in particular. She was actually voted the most prettiest girl in our high school. She told me, she says, look, I'm not even allowed to leave my house. I go to school, I go to cheerleading practice, and then my parents tell me I can't leave my room. And she was in high school, never allowed to go anywhere. So the first thing that happened when she finally became 18 years of age is she went right to California and she did every kind of drug you can possibly imagine. She did every kind of sex, every kind of drug. And when she came back to this area, she started talking like a junkie because she had fried her brain that much in that little amount of time. She just went absolutely nuts. I mean, she was still very attractive. She was still doing modeling and things like that, but she just ruined her everything.
Did she have the thousand yard stare? The thousand yard stare that most girls have.
I'm not exactly sure of that one, but, you know, I wouldn't put it past her. Because if she's gone and had that much sex and had that much drugs, then yeah, she was probably getting ran through by every guy in the area. It's, I mean, it happens a lot. It happens a lot. And, again, that's what happens when you shelter your children. I knew two girls that weren't allowed to cross the street. They were neighbors, actually. And as soon as they got older, they were having all kinds of kids. One had five kids, the other one had about six or so. And they were just drinking, and they got real bad on meth, and it just destroyed them. Because they never had a chance to really experiment with anything, and they never really talked to. So they just get involved with everything, and they just ruin themselves. And these two girls, like, I guess one of them would be considered attractive and the other one maybe not so much. But even so, they were both skinny girls. They weren't fat. You know, they had decent looks. I think a lot of guys, well, they did because obviously they had so many kids. But again, it's just it was a different time. Like, I don't know how old of a guy you are, but me, you know, I'm in my mid-30s. And I remember a time, like, back in
pretty much the same.
Okay. Well, I remember a time back in the 90s when I was in high school. And, of course, you know, I was really big into heavy metal and rock music and, you know, just kind of dressing like a rebel and acting that way. And a lot of the girls really dug it. There were a lot of girls into that kind of stuff. And, I mean, I just got on with them pretty well. And, I mean, yeah, it worked for me. I mean, and I'm not at any means this kind of Chad-type figure. I'm not very muscular. I am tall, but I'm not muscular at all. Not that. A little, much less so when I was a younger man. I mean, now, with all the exercise and weight work I've done, all the kind of things I do at my job, yeah, I've built up a little bit. But I always looked like the actual incel meme. Like, you see the Chad, and then you see the incel, and he actually has, like, the slouched shoulders and everything. That was me. Like, I had the same build and everything, but I didn't have any problem getting dates and stuff because I would just go up to the women and find the ones that were into stuff I was into. Like, again, I wasn't trying to hook up with the beauty queens and all that kind of thing. But the problem that I see with you guys now is that the girls that you do like and would be into, they don't want to give you time of day because they are under the assumption that they can get this great Chad guy, that this
pretty much go for the average type anyway, so
like this well, I mean, what I was saying, like, they can get the captain of the football team, and no, that was really rare. Like, the captain of the football team, the big what do you call them, the jock kind of guys, you know, that's what we called them back in the day. They think, oh, I can get a man like that. No, you actually can't. Matter of fact, I talked to a woman that I had worked with a couple of years back, and she asked me, she said, are my standards too high? And she's on the spectrum. She was a skinny girl, but she was by no means all that attractive. And she'd never had sex, and she was in her 30s, almost to her 40s. Never had had sex, never had had a boyfriend. And I looked at her, and I didn't even, you know, jump around. I said, yeah, I think your standards are too high, and I think you do need to lower them. Now, a lot of guys, they wouldn't have the balls to go and say that, but I did. And I didn't do it in an angry way. I just say, yeah.
Did she get mad?
No. No. She did not get mad. Because you know why? She realized that year after year after year, she wasn't getting the kind of companionship or support and sex that she needed. You know, she was basically just sitting at home watching anime all day and then working. She had a high job. She was, I guess you'd say she was a manager or something. So she was doing, you know, fairly well. But she just wasn't getting on well with guys and all that. And, you know, finally she did marry.
Is she feminist?
No. No. She is not feminist at all. She was actually very conservative. That's one thing we had, again, that's one issue that me and her had, because she tried to date me. And she didn't like the fact that I had smoked weed at one time, and she didn't like the fact that I occasionally drank alcohol. She said she didn't even like the smell of beer and all that kind of thing. She didn't like the smell of alcohol. I was like, wow. Like, these are the kind of standards and things that they talk about, which I understand. If somebody doesn't want alcohol around them or things like that, that's perfectly fine. But, you know, a lot of men like to have an occasional drink. I'm not saying everybody, but a lot of men like to have an occasional drink. And, you know, it's... And even women. Of course, we're finding women are drinking more than men now, according to recent studies.
And taking more medication as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, alcohol and medication doesn't go. I mean, like, when I have a BC powder, like I've, you know, taken today because of my sinus pains, I will not drink. That's just a very good way to be in a lot of trouble, I guess you could say. But, you know, like I said, I've known a lot of these different girls. There was another one I was talking with when I worked at another place. And she was not the most attractive girl in the world, but you know, she was kind of quirky and different. And, I mean, we talked for a while. I never actually decided to date her because I don't know where my head was at. I didn't know what I was doing at the time. But... oh, I was big into conspiracies. I think I was so big into conspiracies at the time, that's all I was thinking about. Because this was early 2012, and I'd just been nuts into conspiracies back then. Of course, a lot of them are actually becoming reality, which is quite funny. But, yeah. I found that I ran into her again a couple years later, and I looked at her dating profile. And she had about 33, I'm not even lying, 33 different things that you had to hit in order for her to date you. And I'm going to tell you something. This woman, she's not very attractive at all. I mean, she's not fat, but she is what you would call an extreme butterface. She's just very not, you know, not that attractive. Now, she had a thing for dating managers, like managers, bosses. That was her thing, basically. If you weren't a boss or a manager, she didn't want anything to do with you. And I didn't know about this because when I'd worked with her, I didn't know that was her thing. But again, she was just not that attractive, and she never had any kids. She's in her 40s, never had any kids, had plenty of sex. She was married, but I don't know if she's just infertile or didn't want kids. I don't know what her issue was there. And she's definitely not a feminist at all. That's another thing. She's pretty conservative herself. But at the same time, yeah, these ridiculous standards. I just can't believe it with you guys, because it wasn't like that in my day. A lot of these girls, they knew what they could get and what they couldn't get. And they would fawn over Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise and all these kinds of guys, but they knew they weren't going to get them. You know, like Johnny Depp and stuff. Oh, Johnny Depp is hot. Yeah, he is, you know. And they would just get together and they would talk about these things. But it's not like they thought their husband had to be Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, or Johnny Depp, and that's your generation's problem. You've got women that are acting so entitled that they think if a man doesn't look like he needs to be on the cover of a record or a magazine, that he's not good enough. And the outcome of that, we've seen the outcome. The outcome of that is box wine and cats. And I'm not even joking here. I got two young women, well, fairly, I guess they're in their 30s now, and they've rode the carousel. One of them had kids. She went all the way out there to, what was it, Puerto Rico. And then another one, she dated this one guy who happened to be an abusive alcoholic because he was a bad boy, and that's what she wanted. She had the kids, and she got away from the guy, and then she was having just problems with relationships for a while. She would talk about how depressed she was, and then she ran into that other girl that ran through in Puerto Rico, and basically they got together, and I would read their statuses, and their statuses would literally say, "Let's go over to my house in the city, we'll pour wine, and we'll cry." That's literally what they said. We'll pour glasses of wine and we'll cry. Now,
at this point, I don't really feel sorry for them, so.
Oh, no. I don't either. Because they've made their beds. They've made their beds. Now, I don't know what happened to the other girl. I know that she doesn't hang around her anymore. But the one I'm talking about that married that guy, she basically became a tattoo artist. And she gained about 200 pounds in the process. So, she basically just goes around and finds what looks to be simps, and she's partying, and she's trying to do the whole, oh, I'm so cute at 30, and basically use the feminist angle to kind of try to attract these feminist men, these you know, because we have that around here, even in this rural area, we have these kind of communist type guys, and that's just what they do. They're just like, oh, okay, I'll go get with her, and then they're like, oh, I might have found somebody that's gonna be real and stay with me, and then they go with somebody else, and they're like, oh, why didn't so and so I met at the bar stay with me? It's because they weren't.
She met them at the bar.
Yeah, the bar, the party, the club. It doesn't matter. They're meeting men at the wrong places, and then they're sitting at home with their children and their cats and their boxed wine, and they're complaining about why life did them such a bad deal. It's really bad. Like I said, I've got this girl that does nothing but post statuses on how terrible her life is. Meanwhile, they go, man, I just saw one of them. She said, oh, I'm never going to let a man take advantage of me. And she ended up with this black guy who had four other baby mamas. And I'm like, you knew this guy had four other baby mamas. Why did you get with him? And she said, I just couldn't help it. And she says, I cannot believe I allowed myself to be taken advantage of like that. But he's
but
just...
But he wasn't taken advantage of, though, so...
And she said, but he was such a good guy. He was an older guy. He was a strong guy. He knew. I was like, well, now you're stuck with, you know, this kid. And she already had a daughter. You know, she already had a a daughter. Now she's got this other kid. And this kid has so many health problems. She's constantly rushing this kid to the hospital. She's rushed him to the hospital about 4 or 5 times for different surgeries. The father is pretty old guy. I'd say he's in his 50s, maybe even 60s. I'm like, what are you seeing in this guy? You know, why? And she's like, well, you know, all his baby mamas live around the same area, so he goes and visits them all the time. It's like, how do you women get yourselves involved in this stuff? Like, what does this one guy have that's able to get all these girls to live in the same area so that they're close to him, and he can literally just go from baby mama to baby mama? It doesn't make any sense to me. And, you know, this is just the kind of craziness I'm seeing, even with women my age. And, of course, we even have to talk about my ex-girlfriend who married a guy that she thought was really cool until he decided he wanted to shoot her in the shoulder. And he decided he wanted to abuse the heck out of her and the kids and just force her to gain weight. He did some really horrible things, and they still stayed married for 10 years until they finally got a divorce. But again, a lot of these girls just getting themselves into these situations with these men. And I'm like, I understand you don't want these nice guys. I understand you don't want a yes man. But you get involved with these guys that just are the worst of the worst, and then you wonder why your lives are such crap, you know. And I know that a lot of you guys in that position, like, you're not necessarily simps in a way. You're not gonna be like, there's guys in your community that have a backbone, and that's one thing that I think is very important for any man to have, is a backbone. And like, some of you guys, I guess you just don't want to be the bad boys that they want because you don't want to make those decisions. You don't want to get involved with drugs. You don't want
to
get
it's
involved.
It's very tiring to be that person, so.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to get involved with those things. You're like, I'd rather just be a decent man, be a good husband, and have a wife that's going to give a shit and basically be... submit to her husband, basically. I guess you want to go with the Bible. Submit to her husband. Be there as a companion, you know. I used to believe in that crap. They said behind a strong man is an even stronger woman. I used to believe in that
crap. That's a lie.
But you realize that that's just not true, especially now with what we're seeing. We're seeing some of the most degenerate and... You know, I use that term not in a funny way, but in an actual sense of the word. We are seeing degeneracy on a scale that I've never seen before in my life. I always thought I was a little bit degenerate as far as the porn and hentai and all that crazy stuff that even me and my ex-girlfriend were kind of into, because we thought that was, yeah, you know, a little fun adult thing. But we knew to keep it away from the children. We knew that you didn't want to get young people involved in that. And now we've literally got people like Cardi B and all these other people that we knew were bad influences on young girls to begin with, telling them, oh, you need to go to OnlyFans. Do you even know that girls as young as 10 or whatever are listening to this stuff because you're... their mothers are playing it on the radio and they're listening to it and they're like, oh, I like that song, mommy. And then they get interested in that person, and later on they're like, oh, why is my daughter on OnlyFans? Well, because when she was a young girl, she was listening to that kind of music and she thought that person was a good role model. And we used to have good role models for women. We used to have good role models for men. We don't have those anymore. And because we don't have that kind of morality, we don't have that good, strong, somebody you can look up to, just everything has degraded. And that's where we're at right now. And you guys are literally just a byproduct of it. You know, people are saying, oh no, these incels, these guys that can't get laid or can't get women, they're just angry and bitter and upset. No, you guys are a symptom of a declining society. Like,
and we can see things coming before they happen as well. So
yeah,
we saw this happening a long time ago. So
yeah, I know, but again, like I said, I knew guys like you, but I mean, they had a one woman. I mean, they had at least somebody, and they did get married. I do know guys like that that got married back in my day. But again, the Tinder and all the other stuff, it's just made women, admittedly so, more entitled than anything I've ever seen. And of course, when you have so many options, why do you have the option to stay with a good man when you can have...
Well, women have always been entitled. Social media just brought it to the forefront.
Yes. Yes. Well, I mean, I agree. But the thing about social media, and even the CEOs that created these apps admit it, is that it's made it to where hooking up is more the name of the game. People were supposed to, back in the early days of eHarmony, and even Phil might kind of remember what I'm talking about, where they were talking about, like, there'd be that song, Come and Get Your Love, and they were talking about how you can go find a good match and a good partner to be with for the rest of your life. That's literally how they marketed this stuff back in the day. And then Tinder came out, and it's like, it was basically the fuck app that everybody wanted. Because there was a lot of people out there, they knew they didn't want they didn't want strings. They just wanted to go out there and have sex, and that's what Tinder did. And the problem is, so many people got addicted to Tinder that it became the name of the game. eHarmony went to crap, even Plenty of Fish and a lot of these other apps that we have here in the States, they all went to crap. And there's nothing but spammers and bots and scams and all kinds of stuff on there now. So nobody really wants to use those apps anymore. It's not about looking for a partner. It's about looking for a fling. And that destroyed the whole reason that men and women were supposed to get together in the first place. You know, and courting is dead. That's another thing. Courting is completely dead. One thing that people don't get is that when we talked about age of consent, we weren't talking about age of consent to sex. We were talking about age of consent to dating. That didn't mean sex. That meant actually dating and becoming, what was it called? Going steady? Being boyfriend, girlfriend, stuff like that. Like, that was what we were talking about. Now it's like, oh, you have to be 16, 18 years old to have sex with this person. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, I got to get to know this person first. Why do you want to bring somebody into your bed that you don't know? They might try to kill you. They might have some kind of weird thing where, you know, we don't know. There was all kinds of shows that used to come on television that would, like, tell us of all these crazy people. Like, I'm not going to say America's Most Wanted, but, you know, there was certain shows.
There was Cheaters as well.
Yeah, Cheaters, I remember that. But you saw all this kind of stuff, and you're like, I don't want to be with anybody like that. So people tried to court each other, and even parents would encourage young men and women to court each other so that they would kind of understand what they were getting into. And of course, you had to introduce them to the parents. This hooking up thing was unheard of. If the parents didn't know what was going on, there was no relationship. I mean, there was definitely times where the parents were, you know, didn't know, but for the most part, you know, they say, I need to introduce you to my parents. And I remember that. I remember actually where a phone was handed over from the girl to the parent, and I would be talking to the mother. Because, again, this is very important. You have to get to know the parents. Because if you're going to date and marry this person, which was the goal in my day, you had to understand a family. Because you're going to be with them for the rest of your life if you're going to be with this girl. Because we believed marriage was actually something that meant something. When we got married, it was for real. Like, it wasn't just, I'm going to divorce this person. It was like, no, we're going to stick together through thick and thin. That's why you had marriage counseling, and you know, all this sort of thing like that. People wanted to save their marriages. So that's the that's what it was like back when I was a younger man. And now what I'm seeing with you, it's just I can completely understand why you want a doll. So let's talk a little bit about your, because you said that you are basically being paid by the government to have sex with prostitutes. And how does, okay.
I'm not being, directly, I just get disability and I save up my money that way.
Okay, so explain to me, first of all, I mean, Phil, I'm not really familiar with the laws in the UK. Is prostitution actually legal in there, or is it sort of a grey area right now?
There are ways to do it and ways to not do it. The way to do it legally is if there is one prostitute and one madam per an establishment, then technically it's legal. Now, if you introduce a pimp into that equation, then it suddenly starts to become illegal. Although it's still frowned upon by the police, there's nothing the police can do in that situation where it's just like two women working together and they are selling sex.
Okay.
But street walking, technically illegal, although the police tend to go more after the Johns than the pros.
Okay.
Street walking is pretty much non-existent in the UK at the moment, so...
Okay, so are you referring to the fact that there are, in fact, legal brothels, and I'm not talking about with a pimp, but legal brothels that are, like, more of a, like, a mom-and-pop, I don't even want to use the term mom-and-pop, but more like an independent thing, or these large companies?
It's like, if you can imagine, a single brothel, just a single girl. You can't have, like, a large establishment with, like, 10, 20 girls in there.
Okay, okay.
So it's like an individual basis, so one in, one out.
Okay.
So, yes.
So basically they're running it out of their homes? Is that what we're talking about? Is it heard New Zealand's doing that?
Rented accommodation mostly. So they rent the premises out.
Okay. Okay. Because I heard in New Zealand that they have a card that basically, this is from Alice Little, she was talking about this, but basically, they give the women cards from the government, and it allows them to register their home as a business, as a form of, like a brothel. And basically, they just do their thing right out of the house, and the government considers that legal. So that's kind of what I was wondering, if it was going to be like that here. And I know Canada, it's fully legal. That's what I've heard. And the prices in Canada, according to Sandman, were about $200 a girl, but $300 during the pandemic. So
they decided to make the money back somehow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, and the girls were completely... Oh, he said that the girls were just... so busy you couldn't even get in touch with them. That's how many guys were going after him during the pandemic.
It's the same thing in the UK. So they don't do an hour now, they do 2 hours, and the highest price for 2 hours is £500.
You know, that's like $1,000 here. That's very, very expensive. So see, I don't think that would work in the United States, just because of the fact that people simply won't pay it. I know for sure there would...
Pre-lockdown, it was like $250 for an hour, but they got rid of the hour, so it's only 2 hours now.
Okay. But like I'm saying, I know for sure there's a lot of guys around here that simply won't pay that price, so they will probably bring it down to what a lot of the illegals, at least from apps I have seen, just, you know, searching around... It's about $80 to $90 to $100 and something dollars. That's for full service. But then, of course, you said that you were paying £500 for the girlfriend experience. So
I'm paying $250 at the moment. So
okay, so
for now.
So you are paying for the girlfriend experience, or are you paying for full service? Okay, you're not. So okay, so to be clear, you're not paying for any sex with these girls. This is pure girlfriend experience.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I need you to describe exactly what this girlfriend experience entails, because, you know, I've heard about it, but what is it about the girlfriend experience that actually keeps you going? Like, keeps you going back to the brothels?
Not really. It just calms me down. So, mostly, it just, like, helps me and stuff. So, every month, I just go there and, like, and talk to her and stuff like that.
So. Okay. So, you basically just get in the room with the girl and she talks to you, just kind of like a normal person. Yeah. So, you're basically paying... Go on.
Like, it's basically, it's not therapy, but it's not... It's therapy, sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you say it's therapeutic to go in there and talk to a woman. Now, does it matter the kind of woman that you talk to? I mean, does she have to be attractive? Is there a limit? Or just you don't care? You just want somebody to talk to then?
Since I can't really tell if a person is attractive or not, doesn't really bother me that much. So
okay.
As long as she's not like bowling. As long as she's not like bowling shoe ugly, then I'm fine.
Okay. So that's very interesting. So you really just like to have the fact that you can talk to a woman about anything. But you also said that you have female friends that you've talked to as well. So my thing is, do you talk to them in the same way? I mean,
not really. There's some stuff I can't talk to them about.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you go,
Phil knows one of my friends as well. So.
Okay.
So he knows, I think he knows Natty, Latoya.
Oh, yes, yeah, I know her.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I mean, that's good. But again, this is interesting because, you know, Alice Little said that the most requested service in the Chicken Ranch, it used to be called the Bunny Ranch, but they're calling it the Chicken Ranch now, don't ask me why, is that these guys are paying lots of money for a girlfriend experience. It's the most popular service they offer. And you know what? It's very telling. Because you would expect that these men that are being punked by other men, let's be absolutely honest here, men are just as bad as women now about, oh, you need to get laid, bro. They're really bad about it.
That's what the red pill has become, mostly.
Oh, yeah. It's really bad. That's not what the red pill was ever meant to be, either.
It got that way because PUA have taken over.
To go into that a little bit, that's not exactly their fault. That's YouTube's fault. Because YouTube, you know, MGTOW was very, very popular. MGTOW was extremely popular when it was first emerging on the scene. We had PUAs, but MGTOW just exploded. And when CNN did that hit piece, that's when YouTube started, you know, taking names. They started just... boom, 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 boom. You're gone. Everybody just started getting axed.
That's why Howard Dare left, I think.
Oh, yes. That's why a lot of people left. Because it was just not... I mean, they kicked TFM off everything. So, it's just... it's really bad. Because now, you know what they promote? I mean, if you go and you type in the word MGTOW... the acronym, right into YouTube, the first thing you'll find is a video from Should Be Bulldog Mindset. And it says, MGTOW are weak and that is... or MGTOW are angry and that is weak, I think is one of the videos that pops up. So basically, they're trying to use PUA content to shame MGTOW.
I look at MGTOW as like a silent protest, and it's like slowly winning anyway. So like all the flower shops are shut down, and the jewelry shops are shut down now.
Right, but I'm.
And when you go out on Valentine's Day, it's less packed than it used to be at the restaurants.
Oh yeah. And also though, one of the things that really destroyed it is the fact that YouTube promotes the PUA content so much, because without MGTOW and regular Red Pill is kind of dying. Paul Elam is still hanging in there. He's been making really good content, by the way.
I met Paul Ingham a couple of years ago.
He's great. I was listening
to... He had some, not so nice words about incels. So... He also had a panel, and I, asked him questions about incels, and I made him change his mind, like I did on the server. So...
Well, that's... See, and that's good. That's why we actually need somebody like you in the manosphere, because the problem with the incel, and I have looked at the black pill stuff. There's a guy in my server that was sharing it with me. If he's here, I'd appreciate that he would start sharing it again, because it was very interesting for me to kind of look at their world. But there was one guy, can't remember his name, but he was some Asian fellow, and he basically recorded in an all-dark, turn-the-lights-out kind of atmosphere, and he was talking about how incel is suffering, and how we have to just don't hate women, and don't hate society, just do your job, and... stuff like that. And I mean, I've been listening to what he had said, but he was like, oh, we need to give up on everything. And, you know, I don't know if that's...
The catchphrase is work or cope.
Hmm?
The catchphrase is work or cope.
Okay, red pill cope. Okay.
That's the incel catchphrase.
Okay. Well, see, there's one thing I really want to ask you guys, because you honestly talk about... And TFM knows what I'm talking about, because he was actually in Incelmatic's server. Some guy he was fighting with, it was a moment where he went full drill sergeant mode. But all these guys talk about cope, and they shout cope real loud. Cope, 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 cope. And you'll see it all over the server. And, you know, one thing I do want to stress, because I have made my Art of Cope videos before, is I think that coping, and I've talked to real, honest-to-God, high-grade psychologists about this, coping is not something that people should be looking at as a bad thing. People should not be looking, oh, you have to cope. No, there's one thing that people don't understand about human psychology. People need to cope to deal with situations that we're in. It's not necessary, it shouldn't be looked as a bad thing. It's actually a defense mechanism for the brain. Because, like you said, people will say dolls are a cope. And dolls can be a coping mechanism, yes. However, you have to look at the alternative. You have to basically say to the incel, okay, if I wasn't going to use this coping method, then what do you want me to do? Am I supposed to do some crazy thing? Am I supposed to be... I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It says to me, okay, so what is your option? I mean, because the only other way that something would get done would not be through great methods. I mean, we'd literally be comparing the Taliban at this point, and that's not somewhere I'd really want to even take this. That's not somewhere I think this needs to go. I think some men that, are using coping mechanisms to stay sane in the world. I don't think they should be shamed for that. I don't think there should be guys saying, oh, you're coping. They're saying, well, yes, I am coping, because that's what the brain does in this situation to prevent a person from going crazy. Obviously, we've seen what happens when people go crazy. There was a guy that killed a bunch of people in a grocery store. There was a guy that killed a bunch of people in a massage parlor. There was a guy in Canada that killed a whole bunch of people in a spa. There's been a lot of gun violence from people that have just literally gone crazy and they've lost their minds. And we have found out that one of them did not have a girlfriend. He was basically lived in his mother's basement. All these sorts of things. So we have seen guys that have gone crazy, and, I honestly say, if a doll helps, fine. If you like the anime and the waifu thing, and that helps you, fine. Like, I would rather guys finding things to help them deal with society than going crazy. Because, first of all, if you don't do something to yourself, like most of them do, they do take themselves out. But those that don't, they end up...
That's what happens, 90% of the time. So.
They end up in custody. Well, the ones that don't, they end up in custody. they end up behind bars for the rest of their life. I mean, it's like, is this what you wanted? I mean, you got your revenge, but now your freedom is gone. So I know, I understand a lot of guys would want to do that. Of course, there was that one guy at the post office massacre that said he wanted to die so he could be with his My Little Pony character. And that still has me kind of just freaking out a little bit. I'm like, really now? You know?
I never really got the My Little Pony obsession thing.
I didn't either. But again, I mean, I could say to myself, what if it was somebody in a waifu? Because I have promoted the waifu laifu, like TFM, you know, kind of started. And it's working for a lot of guys. A lot of guys have got dolls. Guys are using Kajiwodo, and they're using Replica. I don't like that app, but I know that people are using that one. And that stuff helps. Again, we're in a situation right now where I think two things are going to happen. First of all, they are going to legalize prostitution to some extent. And second of all, we are going to have more of an artificial movement breakthrough. Guys are going to, just like in Japan, they're going to be more interested in augmented reality, more interested in dolls, more interested in very base grade robots, possibly holograms, possibly virtual reality. Virtual reality is really coming a long way. And basic AI. The guy from Kajiwodo just talked about the fact that he's developing a feature where you can type an entire paragraph just of anything. This could be, you know, misused, but he usually tries to keep things, you know, fairly moderated. But basically saying you can type a whole paragraph of anything you want, and it will turn it into an AI data set, which is pretty amazing. So,
but you have to market everything to women first, then it gets society's approval.
Oh yeah.
That's where dolls miss the treat. So if they marketed it to women, then it would get society's approval.
Well, see, at the same time though, we've got to look at Japan, because like Gatebox and things like that, a lot of that was marketed towards men. So basically what we're talking about here is that I don't know. I don't know if it's going to have to be women. I think it really
it's
depends.
It's going to have to be at this point that nothing gets done without women's Caesar.
Well, because you got to look at, like, the Japanese games. There's a lot of people that are really huge super fans of those Japanese games. And a lot of those aren't tailored towards women at all, yet they're still extremely popular and accepted. And there's not that many women into them. Now, they like the anime. They like dressing up as characters. But as far as the games themselves, like the visual novels and the hentai is very popular, it makes a lot of money, there's not that many women into that kind of stuff. You don't see women basically streaming it. I mean, Project Melody's one. But other than that, you know, that's just not a big thing. As a matter of fact, remember when Project Melody went on, there were so many chatterbait girls that were upset.
It got canceled quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean. But it didn't stop her, because she still has fans, and she still has that YouTube channel, and they still have things like that going on. So, if things are wanted enough in society, and there is that many people that are willing to back something, I don't think it matters what other people think, because they're voting with their wallets. And if enough people are voting with their wallets, then something is going to change. That's why it's always important to vote with your wallet when it comes to something you want. I tell people this all the time. If you've gotten off the seven C's and you like it, please buy it. Let people know you want it, because that means there'll be more of it. And that's what we really need to focus with when it comes to this robots and augmented reality. And obviously they're predicting virtual reality is going to be a $900 billion industry. So if we're thinking about $900 billion, and there is so much X-rated content, so much, and I'm talking about from anime to real life, they look like they're right in front of you people, you know, that this is going to be a thing. Like, I'm sure there will be some Karens that have a problem, but it will not and has not stopped the porn industry in the past. There were women that complained, I think Phil remembers, that were talking about how porn was degenerate and against God, you know, back during the not so much the satanic panic, but the evangelicals in the 90s. Oh my God. They wanted to get rid of all pornography. And it didn't work. It did not work at all. Matter of fact, I think we have more of that now than we've ever had back in the 90s. This was back in the videotape days. You had to have, if you wanted to see a woman nude and not marry her or be in a relationship with her, you either had to pay a certain amount of money for the, the Spice Channel or Playboy Channel, or you had to go and buy a very expensive DVD or VHS copy of the porno. And porno was always overpriced. The magazines were overpriced. Everything was overpriced. So we're talking about an industry that's still thriving, regardless of how many women wanted it to end. And even, you know, the OnlyFans people are like, oh, we're trying to get rid of all the porn that is exploitative, which I agree there is exploitative porn on there. But, you know, when they're talking about getting rid of this stuff, it's not going to go away. You get rid of Pornhub, you're going to have XNXX and all these other websites just popping right up out of nowhere. So it's not going to go away. Same thing is true with augmented reality, virtual reality. As long as there's people willing to pay for it, it's going to exist. So I don't think women are really going to have a say, especially since I know that some women do actually like the Kajiwoto. Matter of fact, there was I guess she's a sex worker. I don't really know that much. Like, I never watch her stuff. She was just a friend of mine from a hentai group. Because, yeah, girls used to go to hentai groups back in the day. She said that she got onto Kajiwoto. And she loved it so much. And she's got a boyfriend, by the way. She loved it so much that she literally had to pry herself away from it. Because she was just getting so into the responses. And this is a woman. So this is very interesting research, actually. By mouth, she says that she could not stop talking to it. And there you go, right there. So I guess if that is the push you're looking for, there are women that are willing to accept that technology. But, I think that's where we're at. I mean, prostitution and artificial stuff. And I think it's going to be a combination of the two. Like, some guys, like me, might have a doll at home, but they might want to go see a working girl every once in a while. Until that gets kind of boring, and then you just have the doll. But really,
like, you're switching backwards and forwards between the two.
But really, you know, I really think the virtual reality thing is going to kick off. Because you look at I know Phil knows about Vertimate. They are getting really, really good with this software. I actually have a section of my little Discord server here where I've been posting pictures from a certain creator who works in Vertimate. And they're damn near realistic. And they can create a woman that looks any way you want. So what I'm saying is, it's not hard to eventually render this to where you can have a moving character that looks exactly like what you want. I mean, you can even have somebody commission it. You can go to these artists who are actually needing your money right now. They use a website called Slush, which is S-L-U-S-H-E, and they post all their stuff on there. And basically, you can go on there and look at their hundreds of renders. And I'm saying, if you can do hundreds of renders with this program, it's just pictures, then think how you can transfer that into a virtual reality environment. That's what VR Kanojo's doing. All that Illusions VR Kanojo's doing is they have this one character that they've rendered movements to, and they've rendered mouth movements, and it basically just is spoken with either a voice actress or whatever. So we can do that. There's no reason why we can't. Even the little Harmony AI, which I absolutely used to love. would allow you to use your own voice font. So if you wanted her to speak like an Irish girl, which I actually had, she would open up and say, "Hi, how you doing?" You know, and she would have that Irish voice accent. And it sounded just like a real person. And I'm like, if we're already that far along, then there's not really that much further we have to go to make this a reality. Now, TFM is kind of worried because he feels that eventually this could get to the point where it is a threat to women. That's worth mentioning. He's afraid that they'll eventually ban the dolls. He's afraid they'll eventually ban, like, he didn't use the VR because he admittedly gets sick. But he does believe that this could become an issue at some point and we could lose it. But I don't think so. Because, again, they've tried to ban the porn. That went nowhere. So I don't think they're going to get rid of this as well. And, again, some women are guilty of using this stuff. Matter of fact, I talked to a woman recently. She's big into the anime. Another person I met in that hentai group. She said she's using a program called Reality. And basically what it does is it allows you to create an anime avatar that you can move around and use your voice to talk with and stuff. And she was just posting a picture or a video. I might be able to go ahead and post this in my server later, but I want you guys to see just what you can do with this little app on your phone. If you can literally make anime girls move around and talk with your own voice, I mean, the possibilities are endless. You could have all kinds of things. I think it's a great idea. I mean, if people are going to embrace this artificial thing, then let them have it. There's guys that are perfectly happy with their waifu pillows. I've actually been to the Dakimakura groups, and I've seen people, young men, literally have their little waifu pillows and bring them with them to diners. And there's one that brought it with him to like a Renaissance fair. And he literally left the pillow sitting right there on a tree stump. Now, I know that's crazy, but they really love their pillows. And it was a community that I was just absolutely fascinated by. Because, you know, for me, a pillow was always thought to sleep. Like, that's where I put my head. But I've seen that just the image of an anime girl on a pillow is so powerful that it can affect a man in the same way that a woman might. Like, he'll literally create a whole personality towards this pillow, and she's my number, she's my 10. She's what I want. And he doesn't care what other people have to say. The guy at the Renaissance Fair, he must have had people staring. But this guy's got more balls than most men I know, because I don't know too many men that would go walk around with an anime pillow to a massive event. And this isn't some, you know, a lot of people say, "Oh, well, I bet he's a guy that doesn't look good and he's overweight." No, this was a decent, normal looking man. He doxed himself. He didn't give a damn. And this is what I'm talking about. This is the kind of thing that is going to change the world. And I think it's a good thing. I think people should have that other option, like I talk about with Bowsette and the princess, you know.
But they want men to have options.
Like I talk about with Bowsette and the princess, if you remember that Bowsette meme, there was a thing where it says, sorry, Mario, your princess is in another castle, but I'm right here. And I always thought about that, and I'm like, okay, so many guys spend their lives trying to get the princess. But the artificial option could be looked at as Bowsette. It's like, why do you need her when I'm right here? It's like, why do you need to spend your life looking for this princess that you may never find? You may literally die. Just like in Mario, you may get a game over in Mario before you find that final castle and get the princess. Especially if you're me, because I'm not good at those later levels, to be honest with you. But if you get this option, this artificial option, that's like, I'm right here. You don't need her. You don't need to waste all your time and all your life looking for this person that may not exist or you may not even live to see. That's what I'm trying to talk about. You know, and if that's a cope, then so be it. But I would rather guys have life to live than spending their entire lives just trying to find this dream woman and this white picket fence and 2.5 kids thing, which is largely gone. I mean, if OnlyFans hasn't sold you that yet, like if OnlyFans hasn't just completely told you that the dream is over, like I don't know how to wake you up. Part of the red pill is waking people up from a slumber. And that's what I'm noticing, that guys are still trying to find this unicorn, even though we've got so much information now that has told us that, look, it's never going to happen again. And if it does, society would have to collapse before that happens. So, you know, men need to do what they've got to do. And that's what we're going to see in the future. That's how it's going to be. Women are just giving it up at all ages. They don't care. 16, 17 years old, going to a teacher and saying, I would rather be on OnlyFans selling nude pictures of my body to extremely old. And admittedly, they said some old guy. They would rather sell pictures of themselves as a teenager to old guys and get all kinds of money that they can flout about on Instagram than having any semblance of decency about themselves. And that's really, really bad. That's probably one of the worst things I can think of for women. And I'm a guy that used to hang out with women all the time. I never got on with the guys that well. I usually got on with the girls. So I would always talk with them and see what they were doing. And a lot of the girls, thank God, had some fucking morals back then. And I see women that I know from that era today that I went to school with that are just absolutely flabbergasted at the way these girls act now. So if you've got women of my generation literally calling them out, then yeah, you need to avoid them. This is also coming to any incels that, you know, may see this content. You need to avoid them. You might actually need to cope. You know, I know a lot of guys will probably try to say cope, cope, cope. Yes, I'm telling you, cope, cope, cope. Because if you don't, you're probably going to wind up in a very bad situation with a woman that does not respect you, by the way. I don't care how big your muscles are. I don't care how much money you make. There's always somebody else out there that's got bigger muscles, that's got more money, that's got more clout, more influence. They might not even look as good as you do, but they might have more power overall. And they, you know, they're going to be looked at as the better option. Hypergamy floats, gentlemen. They'll find another option. So I don't care how Chad you make yourself, there's always somebody that's going to be more Chad. You know, and that's why we didn't really give too much of a shit when we were younger. We were like, you know what? She's young, she's pretty, and she's into the stuff I'm into. We'll kind of deal with it. We'll play it like, you know, we'll just play it by ear, and we'll try to tolerate each other, because that's kind of what you did. Nobody's going to get along with each other 100% of the time, but we tolerated each other and we kind of worked things out. Now people don't even want to work things out anymore, and it's really, really bad. So again, you know, that's just some of my thoughts on all this mess right now. But yeah, okay. Now let's go into the part that you said you wanted to actually get a doll. Now, first of all, tell us a little.
Looking into, I can't get one at the moment because of my living situation.
That's perfectly fine. I talked to a lot of gentlemen with that same problem. Now, there is one thing you do need to mention. You have a medical condition. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
It's just hyperthyroidism and autism.
Okay. Now, see, I have. Now, that's an overactive or underactive thyroid?
Both.
Okay, you have different. Because I have an overactive thyroid, so I don't really gain a lot of weight. But they told me it was nothing to really worry about. I haven't had too many issues. But I do sometimes get, like, low blood sugar and I need to eat something. But then, of course, you can go too high and you're... you know, feeling kind of dizzy. So you have to be careful, basically. Don't just, I can't overdo it on the sugar, but I can't underdo it on the sugar either. It's just one of those weird situations. Again, me personally, I was put on so many different kinds of medications, and they've done God knows what to my body over the years, because I was a test dummy for all the ADD and all those kinds of medications. I've talked about this several times. I don't know what the effects are. I mean, you're on stuff that's not even... I don't even know if the stuff I was on was FDA approved. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I couldn't even pronounce some of it. I was on the Ritalin, of course, but I was on a lot of other things as well. And they would say, well, if Ritalin doesn't work, we'll try this. If this doesn't work, we'll try that. It was a different medicine all the time. And some of those I don't even really feel they give me time to wean off of. So there's no telling what in the world some of these medications have done to me over the years. But... you said basically, though, your body, it prevent, like, you have calcium issues, right? That your bones get very brittle and they can break.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, see, my issue here, and Phil will probably understand what I'm talking about more than anyone else, dolls are pretty heavy. Like, Phil, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, Phil, tell us a little bit about what some of the customers have said regarding the weight of dolls.
The most common one, I suppose, is people will look at the weight as it's written on the webpage. They'll say, that's fine, I bench press over twice that. This will be absolutely no problem at all. And then they realize once they get the doll, they've severely underestimated the actual weight of the doll. So I've said to a lot of prospective customers, if you can, even if you're quite the distance away, see if you can come down to the dollhouse and lift a few of these things before you actually make a purchase. It's definitely a wise thing to do. So you might be able to bench press, you know, like 200 pounds or something like that. And the doll itself might only be 100 pounds as such, but that's still a really heavy doll to be lifting with your arms outstretched. So the most common thing I certainly get is a massive underestimation of how difficult the doll is going to be to lift and move around.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you've even told me that there were calls from customers that would get the doll in and they can't even get the doll out of the box. They can't even lift the doll up out of the box, which is...
Yes, this has happened, I must admit. Granted, this was the few times that's happened, it's generally been much younger customers rather than, say, middle-aged guys. These middle-aged men are a bit more experienced in hefting things about, be it through work or maybe they're a carer for someone like that. If you've got experience in lifting bodies,
right,
then you're primed for actually getting a doll.
Yeah, I definitely I can lift one. I don't mind seeing someone every month or so I don't think I'm ready for one yet.
Okay. But see that, yeah, see that was one thing that we definitely wanted to talk about and let you know. These are very, very heavy. Now, my doll weighs 60 pounds. I'm able to pretty much pick her up and do all kinds of things with her. Again, I'm not the most muscular guy, but I've got some frame on me and I can... You know, I can pick her up pretty easily. I have to pick her up to move her to do this and that and the other, especially when I'm cleaning or... because she mainly lays in the bed. That's where she stays. And it's actually gotten to a point where my mother doesn't even mind. My mother came in here this morning with some coffee and just sat down on the bed while I was playing a game or something and... Didn't even care or notice that the doll was there. I mean, at first, when I first approached my 60-something-year-old mother and said, I'm going to get a doll, she thought I was crazy. Like, she thought I'd lost my mind. And, you know, I saved up, and I got the doll. And after I got the doll in, I did all the things and everything, and got her dressed up and all that. And it was... It was first, you know, well, you have to keep it in your room and all that, which is absolutely fine. I wasn't planning on carrying the doll over to the living room, all that kind of stuff. Again, I mean, it's not that heavy, but still, it's not something you want to just bring around with you everywhere. It's, if you have a bad back, like I actually do, you don't want to just lug the thing all over the place. It's a little much. So, no, I just kept her in my room. I kept her in the bed, and about 3 or 4 years now, it's been no issue, no problems. It's just normal. Just not even... And you got to keep in mind, my doll is completely non-sexual. As far as we get with intimate, it's like kissing and hugging. I do want to ask you one thing, though, now that I thought about it, Richard. When you talk to these girls, you don't get intimate with them at all. That means, and I'm not talking about sex, I'm talking about you don't ask for a kiss, you don't ask for a hug. Is that anything that happens? Do you ever try to hug them or... And anything like that? Is that anything that you do? Richard? Hello?
I suspect we might have had a quick bathroom break.
Hello. Yeah, sorry, I'm back. Sorry about that.
Oh, no, you're fine, sir. What I was going to ask is, you know, two things that I really liked with my doll was the cuddling and the kissing aspect. I really liked you.
That's what I do anyway once a month.
So. Okay, so that is what you do. Yeah. See, that is, okay, I'm going to tell you, this is important. A lot of, if there's any, I don't know, if there's any hidden women in these areas, which there probably are, one thing you do need to know is men value touch. I'm not talking about sexual, you know, ramming it in the vagina, anything like that. I'm talking about literally putting your hands on something and caressing and holding it. Kissing.
Women take that for granted.
Yeah, kissing and things like that. That's very, very, very therapeutic for a man. It's not only that, it's very good for your mental health in general. A lot of people don't understand how the body actually needs to touch. And people and women are like, don't touch me. And of course, no, you don't go to some random woman and touch them, because that's not anything that a normal person does. But there are definitely a lot of guys that want to get into cuddling things with women. And I think women need to understand that. And I think women want that as well. There's a lot of women that says they like to cuddle, but then you've got a few of them that be like, I'm just here for the sex, especially with what we've heard from Drexel, where Drexel would be like, these men are like, I want to cuddle. And I don't think they understand it. They don't understand that a lot of these guys are starved for touch. And again, yes, we have hormones. We do want to get things out, but some guys just want to fucking hold something.
The last time I did that, that's all I did.
Yeah, that's exactly, and it's worth the money. Like, you would rather pay a couple hundreds of dollars just to be able to touch somebody with no strings attached, without fear that you're going to be just destroyed as a person. You would rather just be able to go up to her, hug her. I mean, I'm not even saying you're kissing her. I mean, because I know a lot of these girls are not into that. I know for sure.
Yeah.
But as far as the holding, you're like, can I just hug you for a minute? And a lot of girls will actually do that. I remember when I was a young man in high school, there were a lot of girls that would say, oh, hey, how are you doing? Give me a hug. And they would let you do that. And yeah, that was good. You know, people did that because... that's just how women showed their affection back then.
You can't do that now.
No, you can't do that anymore. And people went, why am I so unhappy and lonely and blah, 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 blah. Well, because you specifically cut off all the touch in your life. And you've replaced it with a battery-operated boyfriend. And you know what? I'm going to be honest right now about all these nudes, all this stuff. Look at my boobs. Okay, yeah. That's fine to see, But some guys, you know, they literally want to be there, you know. And normally, like, again, back in my day when we sold the little flip phones and all that kind of thing, you wouldn't even get this kind of thing. If you wanted to talk with a girl and you wanted to get intimate, you wanted to touch her and all that, you would just call her up. Hey, how you doing? You want to go do something? And, you know, you'd have a little conversation and you'd get together and maybe you'd hold hands or you'd hug each other and all that kind of stuff. And it was good and nobody had a problem with it. But one of the biggest issues, and this is feminism's fault, this is third wave feminism's fault, is rape culture. Now, let's be honest.
Well, it was prevalent in the original feminist movement as well, so.
Well, let's.
It wasn't until the second wave that did it.
Oh, I didn't. I thought it was third wave.
No, second wave did it in the 70s.
Okay. Well, I didn't even remember that. That's news to me, because I always thought it was third wave, the Tumblr feminism.
Because they got the rape culture from the prisons, so that's where they stole it from.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I had no idea.
That's where the term rape culture came from the prisons.
But see, the thing is, I'm not going to deny, and I know that a lot of guys were doing the game back then. I know that a lot of guys were doing that kind of stuff, and I know that there are guys out there that were manipulating some girls and probably were doing some things to them untoward. Now, I'm not saying it was every single man, but I know for sure that, you know, a few guys were definitely manipulating these girls, and they probably did do some horrible things. I remember one story about a bunch of guys in college that drugged this young girl, and they raped her all together, and that was a real 100% rape case. And they were big, big football player guys that had done this. Now, this, yeah, that's probably a situation in which things went too far. You know, they got into hold the game and they were showing how macho they were and all this crazy stuff. And it worked and they got the woman and they did what they wanted to do with her. Of course, it might have not even been the game's fault. It might have been the fact that these were just those Chad guys and they wanted to get with this girl. And I mean, it's just a lot of different things. But again, because this stuff happened, even in a small amount, all the women that nobody wanted a damn thing to do with, those are the ones that swore up and down that every man is raping and taking advantage of every woman on the planet, and we've got to stop this. And again, these are women that even other women have told me most men wouldn't want anything to do with. And I've even had women literally go up to me and said, oh, this woman here, she's just being a cunt. Like, she's literally being a cunt. She gets cunty sometimes. And that's basically the kind of women we have that push this stuff. The bitter, angry women that couldn't get the right kind of man they wanted, gained a whole bunch of weight, get into the Haagen-Dazs, or the Ben and Jerry's, and that was it. And they're like, oh, no man likes me. It's because, oh, but they're raping these young women, these poor young women. And you know, one of the things that I really need to touch on is that these women hate the fact that older men can get young women. They hate it because they know they're not as attractive as they used to be. And they're like, oh, this 40-year-old man dating 20-year-olds, or this 50-year-old man with 20-year-old secretaries and stuff that he's banging on the side. He's such a horrible person. And they're saying, no, the only reason you're mad is because it's not you. You secretly would wish that you were one of these young, beautiful women that you could be taken advantage of by one of these CEOs, these big, powerful men, you know, and get whatever riches or whatever come along with it, because they know that these men have resources. They know a man like Jeff Bezos has resources. And even on Fresh and Fraud, one of the things that one of the girls said is that when it comes to a man that has a lot of women, a lot of power, a lot of clout, he's allowed to have harems. He is to be shared by many women. Women even just literally admitted that. They said, I would have absolutely no problem sharing this man with other women because he's such a high-valued status man. They're literally coming on there and saying, I don't care. I would share this man because he's amazing, basically. So they know what they're doing, you know. And, again, a lot of the girls that I've seen in their 30s, they get really upset about this sort of thing. 30s, 40s. Oh, these old pervert men. You wish it was
sometimes
you.
Sometimes in the late 20s as well.
Yeah. Yeah. These old pervert men. That's what they have to say. And it's just a fact of life. You know, the chief of a society, like a tribal culture, was very revered. I'm sure a lot of the women would get with the chief, no matter how old he was. Because they just valued that kind of man. And the chief of the society was just, you know, or of the tribe, whatever you want to call it, he was revered. And that's what we're looking at right now with men like Jeff Bezos and other people. I mean, you look at Elon Musk and, what was it, Amber Heard and Grimes, you know, people like this. It just shows you what's actually going on here. And those are the only people we know they've been with. We don't know the harem of women that Elon Musk had before he even got with Grimes. He might have been with hundreds of women. We don't know that. But that's just how it works. And it's really bad, you know. But, I mean, at the risk of going on any further, you know, if there's anything you want to add to this that I may have not touched on, please go ahead and do that. If there's anything else you have to say.
You touched on pretty much everything, mostly.
Okay, so I've pretty much touched on everything. And again, I do want you to clarify, you know, that first of all, that incels do not hate women, you know, and that you...
They hate the situation.
Yes, you hate the situation. And that's understandable, because a lot of men absolutely hate the situation. And that's what we really need to get the point out on. People need to stop talking about you guys as some creepy... violent, angry, even though there are men, undoubtedly, that may fit the mold, but they're very rare. They don't represent even the smallest percentile of your group. And you mostly don't want anything to do with them. And I think that needs to come out. Just like the MGTOW guys, you know, they used to think MGTOW guys hate women. We don't hate women. We don't like the, again, the situation, the things that are going on right now. And a lot of you guys even were inspired by our content. I know that Incelmatics and Face and LMS said that they watched a lot of TFM. A lot of Sandman, a lot of stuff like that. I think it was Face that said he'd watch TFM before he went to bed every night. So, again, we kind of maybe a little bit have some role to play with you guys, but we don't want to be enemies. I don't want to be an enemy with the PUA. I don't want to be an enemy with the incels. I don't want to be an enemy with the red pill. I just want people to understand that we're all brothers here, and we have to get together. We have to, you know, form a kind of a group, kind of like Phil was saying. We have to be like a brotherhood of men where we can discuss ideas, and even if we don't agree, you know, we're there to support each other. That's what we need, because nobody else is supporting us. The media is not supporting us. A lot of women aren't supporting us. We're being called everything in the book. Don't forget about Laura Bates, who pretty much said the entire manosphere is a bunch of Nazis. And you yourself are a black man, so it's really weird to consider you a Nazi. I mean,
a black disabled man. So
yeah, I've heard the term black white supremacist, and it's just made me laugh.
That's what they call Larry Elder.
These are the same people that we're talking about in The Guardian. I was reading the comments because, you know, John Cleese of Monty Python fame has come out with that program where he's examining cancel culture. And people in The Guardian are just really pissed because they're like, oh, this man, we don't need his comedy anymore. He was great back in the day, but his comedy is old. And it's like, it's not old. It's the fact that you don't want people to actually laugh at things anymore. You don't want humor anymore.
He needs the money for alimony. So.
Right. Right. But again, go on.
John Cleese is paying so much for alimony, so he takes any job that he would get. So
I didn't know this. Explain to me that. How much, when did he get divorced and how much is he paying?
I don't know how much he's paying in alimony, but I know it's a lot. Because he's been touring a lot lately, so.
Oh my god. I didn't even know. But again, Monty Python, that's probably what my, I know like a lot of Brits, you know, hear us talk about Monty Python. You're like, yeah, but that's pretty much like baby's first British humor. but.
Yeah, we got a lot more comedies than that, so.
I know. People talk about Blackadder and things like that. But of course, yeah. I like that. And I like Fawlty Towers.
Fawlty Towers is good. And Yes, Prime Minister is good as well.
But there's a lot of... And Little Britain is one we wanted to check out. I remember my co-host said he wanted to check out Little Britain because it seemed like it would be outlandish. But see, that's what we like. We like outlandish, not politically correct humor.
Peter Case Phoenix Knight is probably good as well. That's last of two series.
Okay, so...
That's enough for outlandish sitcom.
Okay.
Well, it's not a sitcom, it's a comedy, like, drama sort of thing. So.
But one of the things I think that makes the humor so memorable, I guess, for Monty Python is it's still relevant. All the craziness that's going on right now, it's very relevant to our common, or to our current landscape. So... But again, I mean, the fact that they're trying to push these people out and push all this kind of humor out, it's not good. It doesn't have good circumstances in the end. Okay. Phil, have you got anything else you want to say or add to this conversation?
Not too sure. I mean, we could wax lyrical about the state of the political landscape and society as such, I suppose. But is that where you're wanting to go with this video?
No. Actually, I do want to do a solo video with you about how you found the red pill and discovered this sort of thing. I think that would be a really good one. And we can talk about that on during that video, because we can talk about politics all day long, of course. And we've already been going for about an hour and a half, so I don't want to just keep everybody awake. But,
Okay, I'm going to go. So, thanks. Nice meeting you guys.
Oh, absolutely.
You too.
Yeah, thanks so much for being a part of my show.
It's okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, and thank you guys for being a part of this. It was really good. I know I kind of talked a little bit more, but I just wanted to make sure that everybody kind of got the word that incels are just not what we think they are. You know, everything is just... been topsy-turvy with the media, and I guess I'm gonna head on out. Go ahead and show yourself, Phil.
Well, I guess, I mean, if anyone's been listening to this and therefore is seeking something of a solution, it may not be for everyone, but if you're so inclined to get yourself a doll or dip your toe into the water, check out my wares at for the UK side, www.the-doll-house.com. We do have sister sites. We've got a few in the USA. We've got Mexico. We've got New Zealand, Canada, Ireland. So there's something for everyone.
That's great. That's great. And of course, I have to promote my other sponsor. I think you're aware of them, Phil. I have to promote Revy and SpinningRobotPussy.com.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yes. He has been pretty awesome as a sponsor. And I believe, now don't quote me, but most of his spinning robot vaginas will fit the majority of the dolls in on your website, if I'm not mistaken.
Sorry, did he say will or won't?
Will. Will.
Yes. They are specifically designed for the Jinsan line, so any, I suppose, other brands of doll that have a same dimensional cavity will also work, but it's not for all of them. So if you're looking for a spinning robot pussy in a WM doll or YL doll or technically even an SE doll, you're good to go.
Great. Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you all for joining us tonight. And again, I'll have this video uploaded as soon as possible tomorrow night. And hopefully we'll get to go ahead and do this again. And Phil, I definitely want to do more of a solo one with you so we can kind of talk more about not only how you found the red pill, but I want to talk about your relationship experience. You've had a lot of experience with women of the Orient, and I have talked about this at length about guys that are just hung up on this. If I get an Asian woman, everything will be fixed. And we need to know 100% from all your experiences of being actually in those countries that this is absolutely not the case. So
fair enough. Let's do this.
All right. Sounds great. Anyway, you guys have a great night. And this is the Grim Lord. And I am out. Enjoy the decline.